folks, you are listening to another episode of our podcast, Could Be Your Life. My name is Jeff.
I'm Carolyn.
Oh, yes. And we've got music of sorts for you today.
A real Caroline band.
Yeah, a real Caroline band. We're talking about Skullflower.
Mm-hmm.
Who are a band.
They were a British, noise rock drone band formed in 1986, which means we are in the 30th anniversary year of Skullflower.
Wow. You've been around so long and done so little of worth or merit.
That's not true.
Spoiler alert, I don't care for this band.
I know, as soon as I said it and you were like, I don't know if I have anything to say about them, I was like, I should know better. Like, I should know the bands that you don't like.
Well, okay, Skullflower is what I like to call a 10-minute band. By which I mean, A, they're fun to listen to for about 10 minutes. And B, after having listened to them for 10 minutes, you've pretty much heard everything that they're capable of doing.
Well.
Do you not concur with this sentiment?
I think that there's more diversity there than you're giving them credit for.
Okay, well, we listened to 6 albums by Skullflower.
That's true, we did.
As is our wont.
Mm-hmm. And our rights.
Yeah.
As Americans.
And sure, the later albums sound different from the earlier albums.
Yeah.
But the same basic artistic approach is consistent there. The same lack of talent or vision is there. The same, just general boredom is there. I mean, and I stand by my earlier statement, 10 minutes of Skullflower is all you need. It doesn't matter which era of them you're listening to. Although, honestly, don't listen to anything past Third Gatekeeper.
The album right after Third Gatekeeper is their best fucking album.
No. It's trash. But all right, so Skullflower.
Okay. My Skullflower fans, I got you. To me, Skullflower is, favorite Skullflower album is Last Shot in Heaven. That album is the guitar riff as religious worship. That's what it sounds like to me. I know that that's pretentious as fuck. But, you know, I went to college. I'm going to tell you about it.
At least you know.
Yeah. But that's exactly what it sounds like to me, because it just takes, please, they got some riffs. Don't worry about it.
They do?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
How do they not?
They don't. Most of their fucking songs are 2 chords. They're not even riffs.
That's a riff.
They're just no, it isn't. Chords is not a riff.
What's a riff? How many chords do you need?
First of all, a riff isn't made up of chords.
All right.
A riff is like notes. It's like a succession of notes.
Oh, my God.
Like, 2, hanging chords that you make some fucking feedback over is not a riff. Okay? And even if it was, these are not good riffs.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't go to music college.
I mean, these are colloquial definitions, I think, that we're arguing about here, but nonetheless, very little Skullflower has done you could classify as a riff, in my opinion.
All right, well, I disagree with you. I know that they're not the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, but they're still really good, which I gotta say.
You wanna talk about fucking riffs, bro.
I gotta say, it had been a very long time since I had heard The Impression That I Get. That song bangs.
It's so good.
Yes. But, okay. So, yeah. So, I think Skullflower are great. I have a great time listening to them. I have a good time listening to them.
You think they're great?
Yes.
Not even just good. You think they're great?
Like Frosted Flakes, they're more than good.
Oh my god.
They're great. You know me. You know I like this bullshit.
But you can do better. I mean...
Okay, who's a band that you think does Skullflower better than Skullflower?
Okay, hold on. Alright, well, it's... which aspect of Skullflower, I guess? Because I feel like they do many things not particularly well. It's if you're looking for, like, stupid repetition, like, you can listen to Earth.
I could. I do listen to Earth. Earth is one of my favorite bands.
And, I mean, I'm not a huge Earth fan either, but they have riffs. That's a band with riffs. This isn't riffs.
This is a more... This is... You know what? This is like British Earth. There you go.
It's much worse, though.
I mean, I would compare them to Earth, like, kind of loosely, because I think they're kind of... Like, Earth definitely really moved away from what they were originally in, like, the most surface-level sense. I mean, I think that their approach is kind of the same, but, you know, they... You know, comparing Earth 2 to Primitive and Deadly, they do sound very different. And I would say if you compared Form Destroyer to, like, Fucked on a Pile of Corpses, those sound very different to me.
They sound different, but it's the same fucking idiot Skullflower, like, underneath it, you know?
Well, you can only make music like yourself.
Right, and I'm saying Skullflower should not have made music, because the music that they make that sounds like themselves is bad.
It's not.
All right.
Okay. So, we started with the first album, Form Destroyer.
Hold on.
What?
No. I had more to say about how you can do better than Skullflower.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're looking for dumb repetition, you can listen to Earth.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking for, like, rock is, like, mythic tribal ritual.
Sure.
You can listen to the goddamn Boredoms. Fine.
This is, like, dark Boredoms. This is goth Boredoms.
Yeah. And if you just want to listen to something like Caked and Feedback, I mean, you can listen to the goddamn Cows. Or like early Cows.
None of those bands sound like Skullflower.
They each have a piece of the Skullflower
puzzle. I know, but I want the whole thing.
But...
I want this entire calzone. I don't want the pizza. I want to halve it so I can have it.
Sure.
We went to see Comedy Bang Bang last night, and
we did.
It was a great time.
It was wonderful. There were many, many laughs to be had. All right. So, yeah, we listened to a bunch of albums by this band.
Yeah.
The first two we're going to talk about are the best. Definitely don't go any further than that.
Disagree, but I'll allow it.
The first one, you know what? The first one is the best, actually. Maybe it was just because I wasn't tired of them yet.
That's going to be very true.
It's entirely possible that that is why I think the first one is the best. But
I absolutely think that it is, because I don't think that the first one is the best. The first one is good.
I think the first one... Okay, like, I had already knew that I didn't like Skullflower before we started this episode.
Sure.
And for the first 10 minutes, like I said, of Form Destroyer.
Yeah. So you were listening to Elephant's Graveyard.
Sure. I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I was wrong about this here Skullflower band.
Yeah.
Maybe they are pretty good. No.
No?
No. That wore off. Because it never changes. It's... Alright. This is Skullflower.
Yeah.
You get two chords.
Sure.
Played on, you know, distorted guitars.
Sure.
You get some drums.
Yeah.
Some tinny, distant-sounding drums.
Yeah.
And then you get feedback.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
That's Skullflower.
That's all you need.
Is that all you need, Caroline?
Sometimes. Is I like music that is like obscure underground stuff, but I like it for really stupid reasons. It's like I said, I'm very fooled by feedback and like distortion.
Well, look, I love feedback too, but
not as much as I do. Apparently,
maybe not. You know. There's no, like, single element of composition that, like, that alone is enough for me to be like, oh, this is a good band.
Well, I re-listened to Metal Machine music recently after not hearing it for a few years.
There's a 10-minute album.
I thought it was really good. I thought it, like, I really did. I was listening to it. I was like...
The whole way through.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's no hope for you, Caroline.
I know. I fell off the deep end, and now I can't relate to human beings.
There you go. There you go. Folks at home.
Don't be like me.
Don't be like Caroline. But I just, you know, when you suggested Skullflower, I was initially like, because, like, how do you even talk about this shit? Like, it never changes, and it doesn't do anything cool. And, like, there's no lyrics, so I can't even talk about, like, thematic shit going on. They aren't, like, an important band in music history, so I can't, like, talk about that.
That's kind of true. You really don't hear about them that much.
I only heard of them through RYM. I don't think I've ever heard of them outside of RYM, actually.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And it's, like, for a band that's been around this long that, I'm sorry, is this good... And, like, they've done stuff with, like, Coil. They've been around. Don't worry about it. Like, you should hear about them more, and I don't know why you don't.
I don't know anything about this band other than the albums and that they're British.
Yeah, well, there's a guy named Matthew Bauer.
Okay.
And he was in some other bands that I've never listened to him. But, you know... All of a sudden, he was like, you know what? I just got this music inside of me, and I gotta get it out. Mm. And in 1986, he formed Skullflower. And then they were, you know, farting around. And then they broke up in 1997, 2003. They come back, whole different attitude.
They got way worse after the hiatus, let me tell you.
And they have been with us ever since.
They were never a good band, but their second incarnation is just garbage.
All right, well, I'll allow it. I'll allow it because I do like their first incarnation.
You'll have to allow it. Cause
yeah, I mean, I'm not like the dictator of the podcast.
Right. You got to listen to me.
Yeah, and I appreciate when we disagree on something.
Sure.
Because that's what... Conflict is what drama is made of.
I guess it's... Not so much on these first couple albums, because, like... I think I understand their appeal.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe even if they were shorter, I would like them. I actually do like the last song on Form Destroyer a lot.
Procession of Eternity.
Yeah, the one that doesn't have any drums, and it's just like this sort of ambient feedbacky piece. And
yeah,
like,
see, now you're getting it.
Sure, but like that's just this sheer mood, and like it's totally amorphous. Like it's not repetitive because it doesn't even have anything to repeat. Like
sure,
the rest of it is repetitive. Like
well. I'll tell you this about Form Destroyer. For me, price of admission, solar anus.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, okay, I know this sounds stupid, but it's from a book by Georges Bataille. I don't know how to say that name. I don't know French shit. I'm sorry, Kat. I just don't know how to pronounce any of it, and I never will.
It's probably Bataille, right? Because isn't Versailles...
It probably is
Bataille.
It probably is Bataille, but I don't know. The guy that wrote Story of the Eye, which, as we all know, is the book where if you want to read about a teenage girl putting eggs into her ass, I've got a book for you, and it's Story of the Eye. Yeah, so Solar Anus is a book that he wrote, and it's all about how, like, you know, the sun gives its life, but it could also destroy us. And, like, the anus is a symbol of waste.
Hmm.
It's pretty stupid. It was France. It was, like, the 20s. I don't know.
It was France.
It was France in the 20s. They didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
I mean, I love those guys, but, you know, be honest with yourselves.
We saved their asses in World War II.
People love bringing that out, don't they?
No, it's just funny. It's sort of an in-joke between me and Paige because, like, her dad, if you bring up France in, like, any capacity, like, he will inevitably say that at some point. And go, we saved their asses in World War II. And, like, anything that France does, like, that he finds objectionable...
Which
like,
I'm sure is a lot.
No, but, like Paige's parents went to France recently for vacation, and, like, mm-hmm. just, like, anything that annoyed him about France.
Yeah.
Like, we had to pay to use the bathroom after we saved their asses in World War II.
Yeah, well, yeah, my mom went to Paris when she was young,
mm-hmm.
and she did not like it because she felt like people were dicks to her because she didn't speak French.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know.
You know, like, when we went to Paris, almost everyone was pretty nice. Like, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, French people.
Yeah. You hear stories.
You hear a lot about them. But, like, people were pretty pleasant to us the entire time we were there. I mean, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will
feel
say,
like, for the most part of everywhere, like, most people are nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, most people in New York, like, people talk about New York City, and they say, like, people are a jerk. Most people are nice.
Yeah, they're really not. Like, people in New York City are mostly, you know, polite, and...
They're just people living their lives just like everybody else.
Right.
And then people come down to Charlotte, and they're like, people are so nice in Charlotte. And I'm like, I live here. Everybody's a dick. No, I don't like Charlotte that much.
Yeah, and I've never really found Southerners to be, like, you know, very polite, like, is their reputation, you know?
Yeah, they're just people like everybody else.
Sure.
And I think some of the politeness, it's like, if you, and speaking as somebody who's not a native to the South, like, you know, we come down here, and my mom is, like, really blindsided. Everybody calls you, like, ma'am, which is off-putting. And, you know...
I call everyone ma'am.
Yeah.
That I interact with on a customer service basis.
Yeah, I do, too. Well, ma'am or sir, because you kind of have to. But, like, they come in, and it's, like, They offer to carry your groceries to the car and stuff like that. And, like, you weren't getting that at Food Town in New Jersey.
That is one thing about France, actually, is they do not have, like, a customer service culture like we
That's
do.
That's good, though. That's good.
In a way. Yes and no. I mean, it sucks when you have to provide the customer service, but, you know, I've grown accustomed to a certain lifestyle here in America, and,
capitalist fat cats.
Yeah.
That's us.
Like, people in restaurants, like, do not attend to you like they do in America.
But I just, like thinking from a worker's perspective, I'm like, that's so much better. Because, you shouldn't have to lie to yourself. You shouldn't have to lie to people. Like, they should know that this is not good work. And nobody wants to be here.
All right.
I don't know.
What do you mean? I mean, you know, I want my customer service people to be, like, polite. But, you know, I don't want them to, like, be super fake happy and shit.
Yeah, because that's always the worst.
It's like, look, dude, I know your job sucks. You don't have to pretend.
There's a guy I went to college with. We were in a class about refugees together. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he comes right off the bat. He's got this Jersey accent you could cut with a knife. He sounds like Chris Christie. He's like, comes straight off the bat. He's like, I'm going to be the president someday.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm going to avoid this dude however I can, because I think that if you want to be the president, there is something very wrong with you and you are probably an evil person. Mm-hmm. This guy, now he works at a McDonald's that I will sometimes, you know, patronize with my dad. This guy, he acts like he's working at, like, Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Like, he acts like it's so much more than what it is. Mm. He's like, and he folds his hands together and he's like, oh, you want that senior coffee? I'll get that right away for you, sir. And it's like, you don't have to do this.
That's over the top.
And I feel like he's gunning for management, but I feel like that's not the thing that's going to make or break you.
Well, you know, once you're manager at McDonald's, that's just a short step away from the presidency.
I agree. Like if the president dies...
he's next in succession.
He's not next. He's, like, fifth.
Okay. So, VP, Speaker of the House. Is it Secretary of State after that?
I have no fucking idea, because I feel like they never had to think it through that bad.
That's true. We've never even made it to Speaker of the House, actually, which is kind of surprising.
Thank God, though, because could you imagine, like, some of these horrible people that have been Speaker of the House?
They're all a bunch of clowns.
Yeah, can you imagine those clowns in Congress? Mm. What a bunch of clowns.
I know, right?
I don't know what's going on.
Do you have anything else to say about Form Destroyer?
Form Destroyer, no, but I do have some stuff to say about the next one, which is Third Gatekeeper, which is, you said, their best album.
No, I said Form Destroyer is their best album.
Never mind. Well, you said you did not go past this one.
Yeah. Yeah, this should be your stopping point if you're going to listen to Skullflower.
I disagree, but this is a great album. This is probably my second favorite. You come right off the bat. You've got Can You Feel It? And I gotta tell you, I can feel it. I mean, that is like what I am talking about when I talk about Skullflower.
You know what's good about Form Destroyer?
What?
It's about 40 minutes long.
Yeah, this is a long album, I know.
All of them are.
No, Fucked on a Pile of Corpses is like,
well,
is under 40 minutes.
That's the exception to the rule.
No, I know.
All the other ones are over an hour.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that says so much to me about Skullflower and like what they think they're doing.
What do you think that they think?
They think they're creating this hypnotic, just like, you know, overwhelming experience that you're going to get absorbed and lost in. And you're going to forget about time.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, I did.
Just minutes slowly draining off of my life listening to this shit.
I mean, that's true for anything that you ever do. We're dying the seconds that we are born.
I'm not getting anything in return, though. I'm exchanging these minutes for nothing.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm sorry. To me, this is Atmosphere and a Half. It is a good time. Can you feel it? You got that. That shit gets me. I love it.
To me, this is two chords played unchangingly.
Well, that's not what that song is. You haven't listened to that song. That's not what it is.
All right. Maybe that one has a couple more notes added to it.
Yeah.
But, like, when you say this band has riffs, like...
Yeah.
What? When? Like, what? What of these riffs are like super memorable? Like, that's a kick-ass riff. Listening to this, it's like there's nothing here. See, I when I hear riff, I think like Sabbath.
Sure. You know,
those are the fucking riff masters.
Black Flag, like
yeah.
Second Side of My War. That's some riffs.
Sure. This is just tedious.
Well. You just don't get it.
I guess not.
Because to me, this is like, you know, this is kind of like Sabbath taken to its conclusion. Like Sabbath if they weren't
conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, but I mean, it is like if Sabbath.
I'm glad I didn't see it out to the end then.
No, but like okay. Like, if Black Sabbath was not totally... Because Black Sabbath were influenced by, like, blues and...
Sure.
If they were taken away from that, this is what they would be. If they were pure, like, you know, dark magic, you know, drone rock machines, which we all know they could have been. They weren't, because that wasn't the time that they were living in.
You know what? I've never listened to Hawkwind, so I can't...
Really?
So, I can't say if this is true, but I feel like this is just bad Hawkwind, probably.
I would not compare them at all.
No?
No, not really. You should listen to Hawkwind. You should listen to Space Ritual. It's great.
Okay.
They have some great songs, like Time We Left This World Today, and Organ Accumulator, and you got some fucking idiot doing this spoken word shit, where he's like, at the seventh moment of forever, and then he talks about, like, if you are try to have your orgasm simultaneously. It's so stupid. I love it. It was the 70s. It was wonderful.
Is that for like Wilhelm Reich? That guy?
I don't know.
Who created the like box that harnessed orgasmic energy or something?
Probably. That sounds about right.
Okay. They made a movie about this guy. And that's why I know who he is.
Was the movie good?
I've never seen it, but W.R. Mysteries of the Organism.
All right, that sounds like fun.
I watched a little bit of it because it's on Criterion and all that shit is on Hulu. And it just sort of looked like weird-ass, like, 70s European art film stuff.
That's my shit right there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love that stuff, too. But
yeah,
didn't finish it.
All right. Well, tell you what else you got on this album. You got a little Saturnalia. Oh, yeah.
Is that the song where there's the two chords and the feedback is on top of it?
Yep.
I love that song.
Get a little Rotten Sun in there.
Song that has the two chords with the feedback on top of it?
Yes.
I love that song.
And I would say with Rotten Sun, I think that the second incarnation of that song is better. But you couldn't have the second part without the first part.
Where's the second incarnation?
It's on Last Shot of Heaven.
Okay.
Rotten Sun 2.
I didn't even make that connection because, like, these songs are fucking interchangeable. So, like, who could possibly care?
They're not interchangeable. They're just... You can only make music the way that you can make music. They have the same approach, but so does every band, pretty much.
Maybe, I mean, look, you can only make the music that's inside of you.
Yeah.
But you still try and, like, stretch and experiment and take your muse as far as it can go, you know? And, like, who could care about this band? I just...
Me and no one else.
I mean, someone likes them. Because yep. Fucking... They have ratings and shit on,
yeah.
on this godforsaken website.
Yeah, this godforsaken website where we met each other and became friends.
It's one of the two good things that happened to me on RYM.
What was the other one?
I met Andrew and became friends.
Of course. See, I met Andrew on a different website.
Uh-huh.
So.
True.
Yeah. I was ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And I get, like, the thing about Skullflower, I definitely could see it, where it's like, if you don't buy into what they're selling, there's nothing here for you.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
So, are you, like, compelled by these albums all the way through?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get bored with this shit?
No. I'm as surprised as you are because I mean, you know how mad I get when an album is over an hour.
Look, I know that you have done an illicit substance or two in your life.
I really think I've done like two. No, three. But one of them you can shoplift at drugstores. So.
Right. But like... you have not smoked enough weed that, like, this shit sounds good to you. Like,
I don't even smoke weed when I listen to it. I don't smoke weed that much.
I know. That's why I don't understand why you like... Like, if you're fucking baked out of your gourd, I can imagine turning this shit up real loud.
Yeah.
And soaking in it. But...
Yeah. I just like a good luxurious soak.
Mm.
In some feedback. And some two chords. Some far-off drums.
Oh, God.
So, the guy who played bass on this record, Anthony DeFranco, you think he's related to Ani DeFranco?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That makes so much sense, right?
It seems like a foregone conclusion.
They should have gotten her on one of these records. That would have been interesting. Get her playing some piano on here.
Yeah, added a real feminist dimension to Skullflower.
Yeah, which they desperately need.
I mean, the only, like, thematic content on these albums is in, like, the song titles and shit. Like,
yeah, and it's a lot of, you know, dumb shit. Look, I understand.
Par for the course with this genre.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, like, I love this kind of music, like, I love noise, I love drone, but I am, like, embarrassed a lot of the time, because a lot of these people, like, they think, because Throbbing Gristle did it, so, Skullflower don't really do this so much, but it's, you know, like, they got to do whatever's, like, shocking and dark. And it's, like, at that point, it just... You're not saying anything. You just think that that's what you're supposed to do.
Because
that's what the genre dictates.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Well, they do have that song, Tantric Ass Rape.
Yeah, I know. That's the one album where they do it. And I'm like, come on, everybody. It was too late. You were around... When, like, people were doing that shit and it was kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
And you pull it out in 2011. Are you kidding me?
That's true, man. They're pulling that, like, William Bennett shit and fucking...
I know!
Like, come on.
I know. I agree with you there.
What are you doing?
That shit's embarrassing. And it's, you know... And, like Murzbo, like, for him... I know that he has a genuine interest in, like, BDSM culture or whatever. Like, I don't know about that shit. I'm sure there's a Vice documentary on YouTube about it. Maybe watch it. I watch those Vice documentaries. I get pissed off at them because whatever point that Vice is trying to make, it's all wrapped up in, like, look at how fucked up it is, bro.
Mm-hmm.
but I'll watch it. I don't care. I don't have any self-respect.
I'll watch a goddamn Vice documentary.
I don't give a fuck.
Anything else about Third Gatekeeper?
Godzilla is good.
Is that the one with the two cords and the feedback?
How many times are you going to make this joke now? This is the one that has some flanger on it, okay?
Uh-huh.
Show some respect.
Is that how it's pronounced?
What, flanger?
Flanger.
How else would it be pronounced?
Flanger.
That doesn't make sense.
Why doesn't that make sense?
I don't know, because I never thought of it that way.
Exactly. I don't think I've ever heard someone say the word out loud, so I have no idea. I've always pronounced it flanger in my head, though.
Well, I've always done flanger. We both understood each other.
Okay.
And that's what's really important.
Sure. Meaning is ultimately what language is intended to communicate, right?
Exactly. So
if you get that, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, so don't worry about it. It's like when people... I watched this documentary.
Was it on Vice?
No, it was a BBC documentary.
Okay, classy.
And it was about Nim Chimpsky.
Oh, right, you were talking about that.
And this chimp, they were like, and people, I'm really glad that I feel like science has moved past trying to make apes, like, do people stuff. Because it never worked out well.
What about the ones who live among us, who roller skate and smoke cigars?
That was kind of this ape. He smoked weed.
Nice.
He had his own sign. It was stone smoke for weed, and that meant he wanted to smoke weed with this guy.
Okay, who gave him weed?
This guy that worked at this primate reserve.
All right.
Well, his okay. So they took him away from his real mom. And they, shot her with a tranquilizer dart because they took away a bunch of her other babies. And she started getting wise to it, I guess. And so they took this baby chimp and they gave him to a human family. And these were just a bunch of fucking hippies. And so they gave the chimp weed as, a... Which I don't think that's right, but that's what they did. And so he developed a taste for it. And so then, near the middle of his life, he was hanging out at this primate reserve, and this other fucking hippie smoked weed with him. Which, can you imagine smoking a weed with an ape? I bet it's awesome.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
It really would. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't do it for ethical reasons, but...
I would do it just because, I'm... You know what? The thing about those chimps, they'll tear your face off.
Yeah, oh yeah. A fucking ape could just, punch your head, clean off your body, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened. he started biting people and, getting them to the hospital. But, the point is, they were like, oh, this experiment was a failure. This chimp doesn't know how to communicate with language. He's just, doing this trick. But the chip got his point across.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't form complex sentences. That's because he's not a person. And they're saying okay, well, this shows that apes don't use language. It's yeah, they do. They use it with each other to communicate the shit that they need to communicate with each other. That doesn't mean that they're gonna start signing these incredible works of literature or something, because that's an expectation that we have, that we've projected onto them. All these fucking chimps want to do is be with other chimps and have people leaving the fuck alone, and I think that we should respect that. That's my animal rights sermon.
I'm glad we devoted a chunk of this episode to this very serious issue.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
So, Last Shot at Heaven?
So this documentary was not on Vice.
No, it was on BBC.
Okay.
It's actually really good. I would definitely recommend it. It's called Project Nim.
Well, that's just interesting, because if you gave me the choice of Vice or BBC, and then you asked me which one had a documentary about a weed-smoking chimp...
I know!
I would guess Vice.
I would, too, but you would be wrong.
All right. Yeah, Last Shot at Heaven, though.
Yeah. So, this is my favorite Skullflower album. Apparently, I'm stupid for that.
I never said that.
You know, I'm kidding. Okay, so a couple years ago, I went to New York, and in New York, I went to Ithaca, and I hung out with my friends, and that was where I smoked weed for the first time, and I'm pretty sure I was listening to Fugazi at the time, and that's when I started getting them. Cool story, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that was a great week that I spent just smoking weed with my friends, hanging out with my friend's roommate's like parrot, who
did you give him weed?
No,
did you smoke weed with a parrot?
No, all that parrot wanted to do was talk to you and eat corn. And I sent my dad
a
picture.
That's all I
want to do. I know. I sent my dad a picture of it, and I said, "This parrot loves to eat corn." And my dad texts me back. He goes, "That's amazing." I was like, "Yeah."
It's nice that your dad still has wonder in his life, you know.
I agree, because he did just turn 80 yesterday.
Yeah.
And I asked him, "How was your birthday?" He goes, "It was fine. I had macaroni last night. I'm gonna have macaroni tonight." I was like, yep. Same, bro. But so on my way home from New York, I was hanging out in LaGuardia Airport. I was by myself, put this album on, walked around LaGuardia Airport, walked around those long hallways with those glass ceilings. Oh boy. That was a time. That was better than smoking weed, listening to Fugazi and playing Mario Kart, if you can believe it. Because it's atmosphere, buddy.
So, is this your favorite for sentimental reasons?
No, I just think that this is their best one. I think that this has the best songs. I think that this is like the high watermark of what they were trying to do. And it's great. And I listen to this album a lot, and I really like it every time.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't like it.
All right. Final word, yeah. Well, this has Rotten Sun 2, which is amazing. It has vocals on it. It has a guy yelling, "Rotten Sun!"
I don't even remember that.
Well, fine.
I must have been napping.
I guess. Well, this is just great. I don't know why people don't talk about this album very much. Because
yeah, I feel like this is kind of an odd choice for your favorite Skullflower album. Because
why?
Because it sounds so indistinguished to me. Like,
well, that's to you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think I get why people like the first few Skullflower albums, and this one isn't even as good as those. Like, it's just... See, it's like I said, like, I have nothing to fucking say about this band. They're so fucking boring. God damn it.
This
okay.
I'm kind of too stupid to have two like a ton of shit to really dig into.
Well, they don't give you anything to dig into.
I mean, I guess. But, okay.
I don't feel like this is music that requires, like, this is a real high bar of entry to get into. Like, it's, like, erudite and fucking detailed and intricate. Like, it's not any of those things.
It's not, but it's dense.
No, it isn't.
It requires attention.
No, it doesn't. It's zone out music. What, like,
it's zone out music, but it's music that I zone out to because I'm paying attention to the music and not anything else.
Well, yeah, but I definitely don't think it's music that needs to be paid attention to. I think it's basically wallpaper. It's just like noisy wallpaper.
Well, maybe if you had paid attention to it, you'd have more to talk about.
I did pay it. Yeah, I would have caught all the fucking exciting changes in the middle of the songs, right?
Yep.
Here's a fun trick. Go to any song on this album and click to about the minute mark. Listen to it for a few seconds. Then go to the 7 minute mark and listen there for a few seconds.
All right, there are three songs this album that are over 7 minutes, okay?
I'm just saying.
Or not four, never mind.
You will find that there is very little difference between these two time markers in all of these songs.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I love it. Because, okay. Well, the thing with me is a lot of times I listen to a song by a band and they get into this one part and I'm like, I could listen to that part forever. But then it changes. Well, this one, I can listen to that part forever, and it keeps going. It goes for as long as I want it to go.
I know exactly what you mean, but Skullflower has none of those parts. I don't know, man. See, I feel like I'm just like, you're saying Skullflower is good, and I'm saying, no, it isn't.
I mean, yeah.
And that's like the extent of our conversation here.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, there's usually a little more to, like, discuss.
I guess.
Whereas here I just don't even... There's just nothing going on.
To me, the reason that I like this more than the other ones is, like, you get it right away. You get the song Caligula. That song is more propulsive than stuff that they had done before. It's like, I mean, I know that it's all the same song the whole way through, but like the first second it's in there, like that shit's got drums out the wazoo, baby. Drums all over the place that are really, like, you know, pulling you through, and it's got energy. It's great. I don't know what your deal is. Get a song like Doofus in there. Oh, yeah. That shit's got drums.
That's what you said about the last song.
Well, what I'm saying is this album...
You correctly identified.
Yeah, that it's got drums.
That there are drums.
No, but it's really cool, because, like, the guitar sound that they get on Doofus is really cool, because it's like... I don't know how to explain it, but it's like... It's just cool. It just doesn't totally sound like a guitar, but I can't identify what it sounds like. Because I don't know that much about a guitar. I can tell you this. I know how to make the Pac-Man death sound on a guitar.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know how you do it? You could get a slide, or failing that, a lighter. You put it in your right hand, or whatever hand you use to pick, and you just kind of wiggle it on the strings, and it goes wah, wah, wah,
wah. Wah, wah.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun. I don't know why Skullflower didn't figure that one out.
You know what's weird?
I was in Skullflower, I would have.
You know what's weird?
What's weird?
You know that song off of Low by David Bowie, What in the World?
Yeah.
You know that song?
Yeah.
That is the fucking Pac-Man sound. And that's like 5 years before Pac-Man came out, too.
Well, Pac-Man was probably inspired by what in the world?
That's the only explanation. Because that is the fucking Pac-Man sound.
No, you're right, it is.
I'm going to splice in a clip of that instead of Skullflower, because who wants to listen to fucking Skullflower?
That would actually be pretty funny.
Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Listeners at home? Is anyone even going to listen to this episode?
Probably not.
Who listens to Skullflower?
Me and nobody else.
Right.
I think RYM user and friend of the show, Lardo Pirate.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise known as Bardcast. Yeah, but that's because he's from Finland, and I don't know what they got in the water over there, but they love this shit.
Finland, and that's basically the UK.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, like, you got, like, brain bombs are from Finland or Norway or someplace. I think they're from I think they're from Finland. So they love this shit, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't know what they got in the water over there, but it sounds pretty cool. Also, brain bombs are Swedish, I'm sorry.
Racist.
I'm just ignorant. I'm just American. I don't know what's going on.
That's funny, like, I think Americans do tend to think of Scandinavia as all, like, being basically the same country.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true.
But, like, it's kind of funny. There's this Lars von Trier miniseries that he did, The Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a big sort of point in that show is, like, the culture clash between Danes and Swedes. And, like, how they kind of hate each other.
Yeah, I think Norwegians and Swedes kind of hate each other.
Yeah. Which is funny.
The only real, I mean, I've seen Antichrist by Lars von Trier, and I thought it was stupid.
It is stupid. That's a stupid movie.
It is stupid, but like the chaos reigns. Fox.
I watched Antichrist with a bunch of my friends, and like when that fucking fox came out, like we all just burst out laughing.
Cause it's funny as fuck.
Chaos reigns.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was? I don't know what he was doing.
Apparently Lars von Trier is very depressed.
Right.
Speaking as a very depressed person, I say, you gotta calm down, alright?
Sometimes when you're depressed, you just wanna smash someone's testicles and jerk them off until they come blood, right? We've all been there.
Yeah. Is it Willem Dafoe, too? Is it Willem Dafoe in that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Willem Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Yeah, I knew it was her. Because she's, I guess, in, like, all of Lars von Trier's movies now.
Yeah, of late.
Yeah. She's like his Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
To Scorsese.
Yes. Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. But I saw a Norwegian movie. I saw Insomnia with Stellan Skarsgård. I gotta tell you, that's Stellan Skarsgård, man. You just strap yourself in and feel the G's. Because I know that Christopher Nolan made a remake of Insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, in that movie, does Al Pacino hang out in a teenager's room to watch him have sex right after he had just finished planting evidence in that kid's room? Because Stellan Skarsgård does that. You better believe it.
Is it cool?
No, it's horrible. It's not supposed to be cool. Like, none of it is supposed to be good. You're not to like this character.
One would hope.
Yeah, no. It's not like I know Norway. I made fun. I'm busting on them a little bit, but they're not monsters. I'm part Norwegian. They're in my blood.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad is Norwegian and Swedish.
Yeah.
It just, like, it hasn't come up because it doesn't matter. because it's all just white.
Right.
So,
You're just white.
I'm just white. I had a friend in high school who, like, argued with me and said that I wasn't white because I was Italian.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't think you know what white means, if that's what you think, because I'm pretty sure I'm white.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It was high school. I'm sure he's learned.
Right.
The white privilege.
Well, it's kind of like how Irish people pretend that they aren't white sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, I mean, most of y'all, like, you didn't deal with...
I mean, Irish Americans.
No, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, y'all didn't have to deal with any of that shit.
Right.
Like, nobody cares. I feel like half of fucking America is Irish.
Yeah.
So, who gives a shit?
Probably
who even
most white people probably have a little Irish in them.
Sure. Probably.
Anything else about Last Shot at Heaven?
Elf Piercer. Really good.
It's a good song title. I'll give them
it
that.
Is a good song title, and that song is really good. That's, like, basically a punk song. Yeah. I mean, it's long. But that, like, it sounds like fucking Funhouse or something. Just without vocals on it.
Like Funhouse if they were all really tired.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. It kind of is. But it's really good. So I guess we can move on to Obsidian Shaking Codex, which I know. I don't know what the fuck that means. Mm-hmm. This one I don't like as much. This is it destined to be a step down. This is more of a straight noise album. You get a little Crashing Silver Ghost Phallus action. That's pretty good. But, you know. It's, you don't need
is
it.
Is this more of a straight noise album? I guess it is, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like...
I mean, it's not, good, it's not though. Like, incapacitance. But this definitely gets away from, like, more, like, the more kind of, like, noise rock type stuff that they were doing. And
yeah.
Just, like, ambient drone.
Yeah, we were listening to Smoke Jaguar in the car.
Yeah.
As we were driving yesterday. And,
yeah.
You asked me to turn it off.
I did. And okay, my reasoning for that is Skullflower's not driving music.
I think the first couple records could be driving music.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could. But for me, like, if I'm going to be driving, I want to listen to, like, some real energetic kind of stuff.
Mm.
I want to listen to Who Live at Leeds. I do. Or a little Cows. Little Melvins. That's what I want to hear when I'm driving.
Do you remember that show Lil Bush?
I do.
What? I was just thinking about that because you said Lil Cows and Lil Melvins, and I was imagining, like, an animated show about, like, tiny Melvins and...
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd all drive around in their little tour bus. Or, like, van. I mean, I'm sure they don't have a tour bus, but...
You know what, Caroline?
What?
This is our ticket in.
This is our ticket.
This is one of those million-dollar ideas.
Our ticket to the big time. We're going to make, like, a web series to put on the Melvins website. It's Lil Melvins. And they look like those fucking Funko Pop figures. That they sell at, like, Hot Topic, and it's all, like, Star Wars people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're little and deformed-looking.
Mm-hmm.
They all look like that. And, you know, they get into little adventures and little scrapes, because they're Lil Melvins!
Right. See, you knew exactly where I was going with this as soon as I said it, and then, like, it's like you're reading my mind.
Yep. That's the power of friendship.
although apparently it's not enough to reconcile us over our differences on Skullflower.
Well, you like stuff that I don't like.
Yeah, like music.
Fuck, you got me there. You really got me there.
And stuff that isn't fucking repetitive, mindless, two chords and fucking feedback.
I like I like some meat and potato stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
No, love to listen to Who live in Leeds while I'm driving.
I feel like you've brought up Who live at Leeds several times on this podcast.
I have, because I really like it.
All right, fair enough.
It's really good. If you haven't heard it, please check it out. It has Heaven and Hell on it, which I'm pretty sure they never recorded in the studio, but it's one of their best songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how, you know, like, there's a place where you go if you've been a good boy, and there's a place where you go if you've been a bad boy, and in the bad boy place, you grow horns and a tail, and you carry a fork, and you
like
don't...
the actual lyrics?
Yeah. Yeah, down in the ground, there's a place where you go if you've been a bad boy. Yeah, I'm not kidding, those are the lyrics.
Oh, the Who.
I know, God bless them. They tried. But also,
they
like,
tried harder than Skullflower, that's for sure.
Yeah, but also, like, if you really like a good, rock rhythm section, they really shine on Live at Leeds. Like, I know that, like, nobody shuts fuck up about what a great drummer Keith Moon was or whatever, which I think is stupid, but he is really, really good on that album, so.
Who do you think gets talked about more, Keith Moon or John Bonham?
I think John Bonham.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, like, guys, can we let Led Zeppelin go? And I don't dislike, like, I like a few songs, but, like, does anybody need this anymore?
I feel like we've talked about not liking Led Zeppelin many times.
There's just not a lot there.
Well, Led Zeppelin... they tried a lot of stuff over the course of their career. I'll give them that. Like,
and they excelled at very little of
well,
it.
Well, you know.
I think that I gotta say, you know, I was against this song when I was a Led Zeppelin fan, but I feel like "Come With Me" by Puff Daddy. That's probably the best use of a Led Zeppelin. Of Led Zeppelin in popular culture.
Sure, from the Godzilla 98 soundtrack.
That's right, that movie starred Matthew Broderick.
Shit, yeah, it did.
Godzilla got pregnant in it? Is that what happened?
Shit, yeah, she did. Well, she was asexual. She could reproduce.
Is that right?
By herself, yeah.
Oh, well, that's trouble. You don't want that running around.
Nah, she laid all these eggs all over Madison Square Garden. And they tried to
why,
get him
why
all.
Why there?
Because it's in New York.
Yeah, it's true. Like, man, people love to see New York get destroyed. And can you imagine what happened?
Why aren't disaster movies ever set in, like, any town USA, you know?
The only one I can think of that was is, like, The Day After, the nuclear apocalypse movie. Was set
after?
In Kansas.
I don't know what that is.
The Day After?
I know The Day After Tomorrow.
No, the Day After was a TV movie from the 80s that was, you know, Russia dropped a bomb on the heartland of America, killing John Cougar Mellencamp instantly.
Please tell me that's an actual plot point of this movie. Please, please tell me that.
I wish it was so much, but it's not. But, no, and so that takes place in Kansas, and it's about people trying to survive. You also have Threads, which takes place in Anytown, England, which is directed by the guy who later went on to direct Volcano, which is where Tommy Lee Jones tries to deal with a volcano that blows up in Los Angeles, and it's great. I wish we were talking about Volcano instead of Skullflower.
Wish we were talking about anything instead of Skullflower.
City and Shaking Codex, it's fine. I think that,
yeah, why'd you pick that one to
I don't know,
talk about?
Because I just felt like they had a run from, Third Gatekeeper to this album that was worth talking about.
Yeah.
And also, I'd heard this one, and I hadn't heard, like, a bunch of the other ones, so...
Alright. Fair enough, I suppose. I feel like you could have talked about Zayman instead.
Yeah, that's true.
It's probably better than this one.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I haven't heard, but I haven't heard it. But maybe you're right. I gotta tell you that when they came back from their hiatus, they really were calling for you because they had an album called Exquisite Fucking Boredom.
Yeah. Well, they knew. They knew.
They knew what they were capable of.
They weren't trying to fucking fool anybody.
Yeah. Can you imagine somebody being fooled by Skullflower?
Well, apparently you have been, so.
I don't
one.
Know.
That's like, one I've... on the official tally.
Yeah, well, I've never bought a ticket to see them live or anything like that.
I'd probably see them live.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd probably be fun, especially
if
Hey,
Skullflower,
really
if you listen to this album, please come to North Carolina. I don't even know if you tour anymore or what you're doing.
Yeah, do they even play live?
I don't know. I'm sure that they do. They gotta make that money.
Hey,
speaking
of exquisite fucking boredom.
Yeah.
How about this Orange Canyon Mind album?
Yeah, I like this one, but I don't like it as much as, like, anything else they've ever done. But you get a little Ghost Ice Aliens. Pretty good. It's boring.
It is,
I get it.
It's trash. Like, there's nothing happening here.
Well, they have drum machines, which is not very good.
That's the least of this fucking album's problems. It just sucks. Like, it's not even, like, as good as fucking... The whole thing sounds, like, inorganic in some weird way.
Yeah, it does. I agree with you,
It sounds, like, synthetic and processed and, like... You know, at least that's not something you could say about Foreign Destroyer or Third.
Right, and I think that's what I don't like about this one, because what I like about their other stuff is how it definitely does come from these rock instruments, like standard rock instruments, and they're doing this stuff. And this does sound like Varians, and they're not great with that. They're not Big Black with the drum machines.
No.
So... You know.
Now, there's a band with some riffs.
Yeah, it's true. They're a better band than Skullflower, I will give it up. I mean, there are a lot of bands I like more than Skullflower. I just like Skullflower too.
They are 900% better than Skullflower.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, this album sucks.
Yeah, it kinda does. I don't hate it, but I don't super love it either. But you get, like, Goat of a Thousand Young is good. It's just, like, kind of sounds like slowed down video game music. I don't know a ton about video game music because I play video games, but I play them with the sound off so I can listen to podcasts. I've been playing Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yeah?
Game's hard.
You have a 64?
No, I have, like, an emulator. I had a 64, but...
What emulator do you use?
Nintendo 64, I use 60Force.
Okay.
Which is...
64 emulation can be kind of patchy.
Yeah, it's not the best, but it's good enough.
Mm.
Like, it's not terrible. Like, I can play, but...
Right.
You know? It's a Mac emulator, because I have a Mac, because look at me. I thought I was going to go to journalism school. And I didn't.
Fucking mindless consumer drone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this album.
That was my Negative Land impression.
Yeah. I mean, I would not get another MacBook if I had the choice of it.
Why not?
Because they're too expensive. I wouldn't pay for one of these.
Yeah.
Plus, like, anyway, like, I'm probably getting to the point where I could get a new laptop, but I'll probably just replace the hard drive and just, like, update the operating system. It'll be fine.
Ooh, fancy.
Well, because why would I buy a new one? Like, you could get
technical
a hard drive.
Technical wizard over here.
I'm not a technical wizard. I'm going to ask someone to help me. But, like, you could get a hard drive for, like, $70 versus if I bought a new MacBook, it would be, like, $1,500, which I don't have that kind of money. Mm. Who does? In this economy? In Obama's America? This is one of the last times I'm going to be able to say that?
Yep. Oh, man. That's happening, huh?
What, no more Obama?
Fucking another election.
Yeah. Are we gonna do a photo montage of Obama set to Time of Your Life? I think we should.
Oh, man.
Or that Sarah McLachlan song, I Will Remember You.
Remember the NSA scandal?
Yeah, I do.
That was wild.
That was some shit.
Obama.
That guy.
That rascal.
He's such a scamp. You know what? If he wasn't the president, he would be so cool.
I'd have a beer with that president.
I would. He would be great. The only reason why he isn't considered a have a beer with him candidate is because he is a black guy. Like, not to be controversial.
He ain't white, that's for sure.
But, you know. But, yeah, anyway.
Getting political.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get political, but we were talking about Lil Bush. Why did we allow that?
I don't know. Because it was 2005.
And yeah, like, that's
what we did in 2005.
This was post-American Idiot.
Right.
So.
After American Idiot changed the artistic landscape.
Yeah, when we realized we could make fun of George W. Bush.
Boy, that fucking guy.
I hate it now. People are acting like, because now George Bush, he's just this cute little old man who does paintings of puppies. He didn't do anything wrong. He was too stupid. That's not true. He knew what was going on.
You think?
Yeah, of course I do. He wasn't stupid. Like, he's stupid, but he's not like...
Did you ever see Oliver Stone's W?
No, I remember the trailers.
I never saw it either. Paige saw it. And
was that a Josh Brolin?
Yeah, it was Josh Brolin. Yeah. Apparently, like, this whole movie posits that, like, it was all Dick Cheney's fault. Bush was basically just a puppet. And, like, Bush really just wanted to be a baseball manager. And he got roped into this whole president business because he had daddy issues.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all.
You don't buy something Oliver Stone put forth?
No. I don't.
Boy, you sure do hate the truth.
I know. I really do. You know Oliver Stone directed a Michael Caine movie called The Hand?
I am aware of this, yes.
Oh, The Hand. His hand starts killing people.
Yeah. And it's Michael Caine.
That's true, it is Michael Caine. He had a rough go of it for a while.
What was the last thing Michael Caine was in? Is he still in movies?
He was in one of the Batman movies, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was in fucking Nolan's Batman. Yeah.
What was he doing in that?
He was Alfred, wasn't he?
I thought, wasn't, Morgan Freeman Alfred?
No.
In one of them, wasn't he? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I haven't seen a Christopher Nolan Batman movie like since Dark Knight came out, so I don't remember shit.
Sure.
But I'm looking on Michael Caine right now. Last thing he did was a movie called Youth, which I never heard of.
That's Paolo Sorrentino, right? That directed that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an Italian movie.
Alright, so he was in that.
Or maybe it's not. Well, it's by an Italian director. I don't know if it's like funded by the Italians.
I don't know. Yeah, and he was in Interstellar.
Oh yeah, he was. Holy shit! I've tried to like scrub that movie. Like,
he was also in Journey to the Mysterious Island.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it was the sequel to Journey.
I don't know what that is.
They go to a mysterious island of some kind. And Luis Guzman is in it.
I fucking loathe Christopher Nolan, man.
Yeah.
I really hate that guy.
He's a definite, like, the thing about David Fincher is I actually really like David Fincher, but I think people go a little too far with it.
I don't like David Fincher.
I actually really do like him.
I think he has an adolescent mind.
Yeah, he kind of does. Like, I don't think he's anywhere near as smart as people try to make him.
No, definitely not.
As a director, but I do really like his films. I like the atmosphere. I like his.
He's a talented director, but I just like. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I feel like he's like constantly nudging me in the ribs, going like, "This is pretty fucked up, huh?" Like, that's fucking David Fincher's thing.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get what you mean, but I do like Skullflower, so
sure,
you know. But Christopher Nolan, like, kind of is a similar school where it's like first year male film student, like canon, where there's just not a lot there. And, like, for Christopher Nolan, I don't even particularly like his aesthetic or whatever.
No,
so there's just nothing for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say his movies lack personality, but they, it's not a personality that I like.
Yeah.
It's an annoying personality. And, like, his movies don't really look that good either.
They don't.
Like,
he doesn't have,
like, a strong visual sense, I don't
think.
Yeah,
like, Fincher,
like, he's got a lot of dumb special effects. Like, yeah. He certainly has that, but, like, as far as, like, you know, great shots in Christopher Nolan movies. I can't really think of that many.
Yeah.
And yeah, Fincher definitely has like a visualist. He's got that, like, he loves his sickly greens and yellows, doesn't he? Like,
sure does.
That's his thing. Like, all that's his like movies look kind of nauseous.
Yeah, like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that's a big part of it. And part of why I like that movie is his like Rooney Mara and goth clothes looking awesome.
Sure. I haven't seen that.
I like it, but it's like kind of stupid.
So it's a David Fincher movie.
Yeah, I think some of that is the source material, though. It's not very smart.
Right.
But it's a fun movie, I guess, if you want to hang out in Sweden with goth Rooney Mara doing computer hacker business, because that's what that movie is.
But yeah, Orange Canyon Mine, who gives a fuck?
Yep, fucked on a pile of corpses. This is,
fuck.
Well, this is, okay, their black metal album. Every once in a while, you get a artist who doesn't do black metal, but they start listening to a lot of it, and they're like, I'm going to take influence from this. You see that with Merzbow, with Venereology. You see it with, apparently, if you can believe this, Sonic Youth a little bit. They were into black metal. And did The Eternal, which I don't see it, but I read it one time.
That album specifically is influenced by black metal?
I think lyrically, maybe? I don't know. I read it a long time ago, like when it came out.
Because I can buy that, like, Sonic Youth is influenced by black metal, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely have been before that, but. But yeah, this is Skullflower listening to a lot of black metal, and they make this album, and it's okay.
It sucks.
It's better than the last one. It has a little more.
It's certainly short.
It's shorter, which is always good.
A huge plus.
Even if I like you, it's always good.
Fucked on a Pile of Corpses is a pretty great name.
I disagree.
I would say that that album title is probably the high point of their career.
Sure.
The album is just... it's basic. It's fucking basic ass noise.
Yeah, it kind of. So, it's basic.
It sucks.
I get you.
It sucks. It's not good. Like, I'm gonna put a clip of one of the songs on here, and you tell me if it's something you want to listen to.
What okay. song?
Clip here. I don't know yet. Who cares? Who could fucking... can you... if I played a song off of this, could you tell me which one it is?
No, but I could tell you it was from this album.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, not just because you said it, but because I would recognize that this is what they were at this point.
All right.
So...
but it literally doesn't matter what song I just excerpted back there.
I guess.
Because the whole fucking thing sounds like that.
Sure. Well.
This album sucks. This band sucks.
Okay. They have some good stuff.
Not after 93.
They're good.
To be fair, I haven't listened to the fucking 8,000 albums they put out between Obsidian Shaking Codex and Orange Canyon Mind.
They really did. Like, I don't know why bands like this are so prolific.
it doesn't help them. Because they could just shit it out. Like, that's why. Because it's nothing. It's nothing to them to make one of these albums.
Okay.
You know, we could make this.
All right. I present to you the Skullflower Challenge. We gotta do this.
We absolutely could make a Skullflower album.
Then let's do it.
We need a drummer, though.
I'll play the drums.
All right.
I'll do it. Right. You think I couldn't play drums on a Skullflower album? You're kidding yourself. This is not Pig Destroyer. All
right. I'll make noise guitar, and now I just need someone to play doom metal guitar, and fucking we'll have Skullflower.
All right. I'm in. Let's do this.
All right. Do you know anyone that can play doom metal guitar for us?
Not off the top of my head.
I would ask Cameron, but he would start playing fucking, like, fucking
shredding
his stupid shit
stuff.
Yeah,
like I mean, God bless him.
That's what he does.
Yeah, and that's like his death metal,
right? His stuff. Progressive technical death.
Yeah, which I don't think metal should be too technical.
Yeah,
that's my attitude. That's why doom metal is the best metal.
I agree.
They sing about smoking weed. And, like, ghosts and shit. It's great. Come on. So, that's my attitude on doom metal, which is that it is the best metal. My attitude on Skullflower is they're good enough. Give them a try.
They're good enough.
They're good enough.
Ringing endorsement.
Yeah. No, I really do like... Third Gatekeeper and Last Shot at Heaven, I think, are great albums that you should check out. The rest of their stuff is good enough. If you gotta have Skullflower, you'll do all right.
I mean, look, I'm sorry to be a grumpy pants, everybody, but I just...
That's kind of who you are a little bit.
Am I?
A little bit.
You think I'm a grumpy pants?
Sometimes. But it's fine. You've earned it.
All right. I just, you know... Just... Precious hours I wasted on this shit.
I mean, not that many. You didn't go to war.
I mean, I could have listened to stuff I like instead of this, sure. But I had to listen to this.
All right. Well, next time we come together, we'll do a band like the Misfits or something.
Okay.
That would be fun. And we'd get to talk about monsters, my favorite subject. Like when the opening comedian last night started talking about monsters, and you looked at me because you heard me go, yes!
Oh, God.
People know me. I love monsters. I want to be one with the monsters.
Well, folks, speaking of the next time we come together... this will be our last episode for a few weeks. I am going on vacation. And I'm going to take a few weeks off the podcast after that also, because I'm looking for new jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm tired of this scrub job I got now.
Mm-mm.
It sucks.
Yeah. Jeff wants no scrubs.
That's right. I'm just trying to clear my head a little bit, you know, not having to force myself to sit through Skullflower Records and that kind of thing.
Listen to me. You're never gonna have to do that again.
Thank the good Lord. So yeah, we'll be away for a few weeks, but worry not, because we will come back stronger than ever.
Yep.
With all kinds of cool new artists to talk about.
Yep.
And we have a theme month planned that I'm very excited about.
Yes.
So
we'll have some surprises.
Yes. So sit tight for all of that. And when we return, we will rise like the ashes of the phoenix or something.
You will rise from the ashes like the phoenix.
Is that how it works? The phoenix is ashes, right?
The phoenix rises from the ashes.
Okay. I forgot how the phoenix works.
I learned that from Harry Potter.
Okay. You can learn a lot of things from Harry Potter.
Sure. I didn't go through the whole series because around like...
Really?
No, because like people say like they kind of like grew up with it, but I started losing interest. Because I realized I don't like magic that much. I'm not like that.
Oh, man.
I mean, I know what happens. Just from, like, the age group that I am in.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
I know that. I know that Harry Potter names his fucking kid after Snape and Dumbledore, which seems both... antithetical to the role that Snape played in the story. Like, I'm gonna name my kid after this guy because he really wanted to fuck my mom. That seems weird.
Well, that's simplifying things a little bit, but...
Not really. And, like, then also it seems disrespectful to name your kid after a guy and also the guy that killed that guy.
Well... He had to, man.
So he was like Judas and Dumbledore was like Jesus?
Not even. I mean, it was understood between them when it happened.
I thought it was understood between Judas and Jesus.
Not exactly. I mean, Judas still went to hell.
Yeah.
Read the Inferno?
That's true, I did.
He got it worst of all.
Yeah.
He was in the bottom of hell.
Yeah, he had nothing going for him.
That motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I don't know why, because he did what was supposed to happen, and then Jesus died, and everything was
better.
Well,
it's like Calvinism. I mean, you know, like predestination and shit. Like,
yeah, that seems, you know, very antithetical.
You're destined to go to hell, so you're just doing what you're doing, but like, you know.
I feel like Calvinism, you know what I mean, speaks to like this weird undercurrent of like sadomasochism in religion.
I kind of feel like Christianity does in general, but
yeah, that's true.
That's just me. I think we're done here, though.
Yep. Sorry if you really wanted to hear us dig deep into Skullflower. But
there's nothing to dig into.
But
nothing there.
You do get to hear our opinions on Lil Bush.
That's right.
There you go. Thank you.
Lil Bush is worth like 3 Skullflowers.
It's not. I think even you have to admit that.
All right. They're about on the same level for me. Lil Bush is the television equivalent of Skullflower.
I'm trying to think of what would be the television equivalent of Skullflower.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I'll allow it.
All right, y'all. So, have a good one.
Yes, goodbye, everyone. Enjoy your lives. And we will see you soon.